Hello, you are listening to the Picture House podcast, and this is a very special edition. My name is Karina, and I am talking to the fabulous director, Nadine Labaki. We are so pleased to be releasing your film, Capernaum. It's an outstanding piece of work. So just to talk a little bit more about it, it's a realist drama about a 12-year-old Syrian boy on the streets of Beirut. He's trying to sue his parents after they failed to protect his little sister against child marriage and for continuing to have children they're unable to care for. Nadine, in your own words, tell us a little bit more about your film.
You know, I think the fact that I live in Lebanon, so I'm exposed, I think, because Lebanon is such a small country and it's been struggling with a lot of, you know, issues and an economical crisis, and the fact that Lebanon has also hosted over 1.5 million refugees until now. So the situation is very, very difficult for Lebanese and for Syrians and for refugees in general. And we've hosted also, there's lots of migrant workers living in Lebanon, domestic workers. So it's like the economical crisis is reflecting on our everyday life. Mm-hmm. We see it. Mm. We are exposed to it. We're exposed to children working. We're exposed to children, you know, begging on the streets or selling gum or carrying gas tanks or carrying very heavy loads. We're exposed to seeing, you know, domestic workers also being very much, I think, marginalized and neglected, and we are exposed to these belts of misery that surround our cities and our lives. It's like we see them. We see those slums where we're going to work or coming back from work. We just don't look at them. Mm. We don't. I mean, we might look at them for a very short while, but then we turn our heads and keep going. We just don't go in there to see what's happening. So I just wanted to, in a way, go behind the scenes and see what's really happening.
Because this is all stuff that you've experienced and seen in your country yourself.
Of course.
And you're wanting to
all the time
dramatize it.
And I just wanted to, I think the igniting point is really seeing those children suffering so much. Because obviously when you see a child suffering, you can't, I think you can't ignore it. You have to do something about it. And I felt the need to do something about it in a way and do with something that I know, which is filmmaking. So I decided to make a film about it. Mm. And for me, it was very important in a way to become their voice, create a platform for them to express themselves and their struggle. Because I was thinking a few years ago when I saw the image of Alan Kurdi, the Syrian refugee boy who was found dead on the beach in Turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember thinking, if this child could talk, what would he say? Mm. What would he tell the world? What has he been through? Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to become this voice. Mm. And that's how it all started.
And I'm aware that you took how many years of research? It was a long process, right?
It was a very long
process.
Very
exhausting.
3 years of research, then 6 months of shooting and two years of editing. It was a very long process.
So how many hours of footage is that?
500 hours.
500 hours?
Yes, the first version of the film was 12 hours.
Wow.
So we had to cut
director's
it
from
cut. 12 to 2.
We'll stick that on the DVD extras.
It was. I'm sure I'll find a way to share it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so much more amazing stuff and beautiful scenes and hidden stuff that nobody saw.
Well, this is
and
it.
I want to share it.
How do you know when to stop? I mean, you must have at some point been like, right, no more. I have 500 hours.
I think it's the Cannes deadline
that
made me stop.
I see. Paperwork.
We had to finish it. We had to finish it to submit it to Cannes. And we went to Cannes with an unfinished version. So after Cannes, I went back to the editing room and continued.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's like, yeah, you have deadlines. You have, you know, people you have to respond to in a way, even if it was a very free adventure. But at some point, yeah, you need to stop. But if it was up to me, I would be editing until now.
Gosh.
I would be, still exploring the potential of it all. You know, because when you're the filmmaker, I think you're so immersed in this reality in what you're doing that you don't have the distance. I wish I can watch the film like somebody who's watching it for the first time and discovering it. We don't have the discovery element of somebody who's watching it for the first time. And it's a very important element. Mm. I went through crazy stuff to be able to do that, but I couldn't. Like, I went through hypnosis. I just asked a friend, can you just make me forget everything about the film and make really? Me watch it as if I was watching it for the first time yeah. in my life? She said, of course not, you're crazy. and we did something else, but it didn't work. So
really? Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And yes, I think it's a blessing to be able to watch your film as if you're watching it for the first time, but it will never happen. So yeah. I've learned now that you need distance. You need, I wish I can take some, you know, a year off and go back to the editing and edit again.
Well, yeah. In a year's time, you might have to watch it again and yes. report back.
I might do this crazy thing. You should. I don't know. I might, yeah.
It's interesting what you're saying about watching it for the first time. So I've watched it numerous times. However, every time I saw it, it felt like a new time because of the context that I was watching it in. So the first time, I was very lucky to have seen it at Cannes. It was the first film I've ever seen at Cannes, the first time I ever went to Cannes. I literally got off the plane and came when and saw your film. And it was, you know, the standing ovation. I was like, wow. This is amazing. This is what Cannes is all about. Yeah. So it was very special.
Moment, yeah.
So there was that context of being industry, but all very prestige and in Cannes. And then I've had, you know, staff screenings and industry screenings. But then the most recent screening I went to was public. And there was a few journalists there, but it was the first time that I saw it with the general public.
Yes.
And it was such a different experience because the atmosphere of how they responded to the humour and the heart, because on the face of it, this is a tough film, but actually you sit there and you watch there and there was laughter all throughout, and it was so warming to feel yeah. and hear how much people were responding to, you know, Zane's funny.
Yeah.
He's a little rascal.
Of course. He's very funny. In real life, he's very funny.
Yeah.
He cracks up all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah, he is a funny boy. Yeah.
No, it was wonderful. So I kind of, I guess it's the experience of watching it with different people, and I guess, again, like watching at home. But obviously, Pitch House, we are a cinema chain, and we love the experience of watching it with people and that collective effort.
It's a completely different. Yeah. Different experience, actually, when you're watching it with the public and seeing, because yes, it's not anymore something that is in your head thinking that, I like this film, this is going to work. It's actually, you're seeing it. You're seeing that it actually works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going back to the Cannes screening, what's it like to have 15 minutes of applause for something that you've worked so hard on? Did that sink in? Were you stop now?
It was a complete victory. You know, it was, you know, when you've worked so hard on the film, and it's not, it was a homemade film, literally.
Mm.
You know, my husband produced it. Mm. My husband is a music composer. And next to the fact that he's made this amazing score that took so much, it took so much work.
The score is beautiful.
It's like this mixture of classical and ethnic and contemporary and so it took a lot of his time, but at the same time he was producing it and he didn't have any experience producing. It takes a crazy artist like him to do that. And so he didn't have any experience producing. He didn't even know what was the difference between executive producer and line producer.
Yeah.
But he just was rushed into it, and he put our house on mortgage to be able to start this adventure without telling me. So just to tell you how far we went, we started with literally nothing.
Yeah.
Really nothing. And then slowly people started getting interested in this journey, and we found on our way guardian angels who were just there and were willing to help. And it was a familial kind of work. You know, my team is my family now. We were a very small team, And they were actually living with us because we took the first floor of the building that where we live, and we started this whole thing there. We did everything there, the editing, the pre-production, the post-production. The music was done like 30 seconds away in my husband's studio. So we were immersed in this bubble. Nobody knew what we were doing. We were really doing it on our own. So to be able to all of a sudden from this to be in Cannes on such a huge level and to be so appreciated and so applauded, it really felt like a victory for each and every one of us who worked on this film.
Oh, gosh.
And also for the actors, which is the biggest victory because, you know, before going to Cannes, they didn't have papers. So we had to rush and do the papers. And so in their real life,
they're not actors
were,
at all.
They're not actors, and they were struggling to even exist in this life. Each one of them, not only Zayn and Rahil, but each one of all of the actors of the film were in, most of them were in this situation. So in their real life, they're having trouble even existing, and all of a sudden, they are there. And not only there, they're being applauded and appreciated and loved for those same reasons. All of a sudden, they're not only visible, but they're shining. So it is a big victory.
That must have been amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a real testament to your husband's faith in your talent.
Yes, absolutely.
And for him to not to tell you, that's it. That's quite romantic. I'm glad it worked out.
Yes, it is. I mean, it is. I mean, it was either going to end in a divorce or end up in...
I'm glad we're here talking about how successful it was rather than your divorce. Yeah. That would have been
terrible.
It's
true, it's true.
But you're not a first-time filmmaker. This is... You've had Caramel. You're a music video producer as well. Well, director as well.
Yes.
And you're an actress. So you've also appeared in Caramel. You've appeared in Capernaum, but from a very observational point of view.
Yes.
I think it was a very nice touch to have you there as somebody not just observing what's going on and reacting, because that's where we're emoting with you and how we're witnessing this thing that's going on. But for you, do you prefer in front of the camera or behind the camera?
You know, it's I can't really decide. I mean, I don't have to take a decision. I can be all of that. You know, I think I feel more complete in a way to be able to express myself fully in every aspect. So I think it's difficult to just decide, why not do everything? And that's what I'm doing.
I like it.
Yeah.
And what's next? Have you got any more plans? Well, you've got that footage.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot to still work on regarding the children's situation. That's my next, I mean, not project. The next step is really, now we've been working a lot with the families that work in the film and trying to work on each situation and try to see, at least now everybody's in school, which is a big step for us. But apart from the film's family, we have to really try to make a change and I don't know, in the laws maybe. Maybe I'm too ambitious, but that's the aim. The aim is now to show the film to the government, to the, you know, to judges and lawyers and social workers and discuss, simply discuss what can be done. And also, I think it's important to give your point of view as an artist towards all that, towards everything that I've seen, everything that I've witnessed, because during these 4 years of research, I've seen every single aspect and angle of the problem. And so there's a lot I can share. So this is the aim for now. And we're doing a documentary also about the film and about how, you know, what happened in each in their lives, in the actors' lives, where they are now, and that's the aim.
Well, I think it's impossible to watch this film and not come out of the screening room thinking, what can I do, and what can be done, and what happened to everybody that's part of it. And it's so rewarding to research that what you're saying, that everyone's in school and there's been rehousing, and that's wonderful to hear. But every time that we've screened it, so many people have come up to us and been like, I need to do something about this. And I think that is important for you to know, so that you know that this is a victory that you've created.
Exactly. You know? That was the intention, to create this call for action.
Yeah.
Coming out of it feeling changed and feeling like I can do something about it and I will do something about it.
Yeah.
That's the aim.
And there's certainly a message of hope towards the end where there is opportunity. And that's what it is. It's about presenting the fact that this doesn't have to be the way it is. But you've had so much success with this so far. So the BAFTA nomination, Oscar nomination, Oprah Winfrey's tweeting about you, yes. Ava DuVernay's liking it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But how are you staying grounded? How are you taking it all in?
Of course. I mean, of course you stay grounded. You know, whatever happens, it's great for the film, but it doesn't change you as a human being. It's not, I mean, the fact that I've lived this reality for such a long time with them, it changed me forever. Nothing can change this grounding that, you know, even the moments I spend with my family mm-hmm. are not the same anymore, because I feel like there's always this guilt feeling in the back of my mind. You feel like you can't enjoy really anything anymore. So this keeps you grounded. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hope you seem
incredibly grounded. I mean, on your social media, you're very family orientated, and you seem very humble and gracious for all the reports that you're getting.
I mean, this experience changed me forever.
Yeah.
You can't be otherwise.
Mm. And being the first Lebanese female director nominated for an Oscar is fantastic.
It is.
I mean, does that feel like a weight of responsibility in any sense? Does that resonate with you?
It's just. Feels that I'm happy that I can give hope to other women.
Mm.
I'm happy that I can make them feel that that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel it as a victory because I'm a woman. You know, it's difficult to make films anyway, and it's as difficult for a man to make a film, especially in Lebanon. I'm talking about our own experience in making films. Lebanon is a very, very small country with no film industry because of the war. We haven't done many films, and so. So now in the past few years, there's been a few experiences where it was in a way seen as an achievement. You know, I'm not the first person. I'm the second person to be nominated for an Oscar 2 years in a row. So it's already a big achievement for our country, which is a very small country. And it's great. It feels great to be recognized for something other than war and turmoil and conflicts and political turmoil. So I feel happy and proud, and it's becoming a national pride now. Like, it's like you feel like you're representing a whole country. So this is what makes me most of all proud of, and I hope that I will give hope to other women who feel like maybe it's difficult for women to express themselves. I'm the example that no, it's not, we can do it.
And what a wonderful example you are. Thank you so much, Nadine. We can't wait to release your film here on the 22nd of February. And
I'm so happy to be working with you also at Picture House. I feel privileged. And you're doing such a great job.
Thank you.
It's going to be a great collaboration.
We're going to make it so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.